about spiritual gifts. And as we just mentioned, there are many different gifts that God gives us. Lots of gifts. You can't, I mean, the Bible says, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. There's so many. Our children are gifts. Our health are gifts. So many things that God gives us. We're talking specifically about spiritual gifts. And these are a specific type of gift. Just like all of these gifts all had to do with grilling and cooking, and they were specific category of gifts. Well, spiritual gifts is a specific type of gift. And we're going to go through here 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 4, and we're going to take our time to go through a few of these verses. I'm going to let you know that we're not going to make it through all the notes that you have in front of you. We're not going to make it through it all. And part of the reason is that this topic, there's a lot of differences of opinion on it. And so for the last week, I've dug deeper into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 than I have ever dug into it before. And as a result, you'll see that the verses are in your notes, is the ones we're going to specifically look at, because I'm using today the verses out of the New American Standard. It's called the NASB, the New American Standard. Normally, I use the New International Version, what we call the NIV. But the NASB, I just like the way it explains and uses, because it's closer to the original text. So we're using the New International today to go through this. And as we, and I'm going to do my best also to go slow, because I tend to talk fast, especially when I'm excited about something or especially when I have a lot to say. So that's why I'm not worried about trying to get through it all. I'm going to at least try to get to point number 3 on the second side, and if we can, great. Because I want to make sure we all get this. So let's begin. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 6 says, "Now there are variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons." So the first thing he says is there's a variety of gifts. So variety meaning many, right? There are diverse gifts. There are varieties of gifts. There are many gifts. And the word gift, I don't always go back into, you know, like the Greek or anything like that, but let me just mention the Bible has two sections. The Old Testament, which is before Jesus was born, which was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament, which begins with Jesus' birth and ends with telling us about his return, which is written in Greek. So it's good sometimes to go back into the original language to see what the words that in English, what they meant in the original language, because they're different. So I'm going to give you some of that today because I think it matters and I think some of you would really appreciate it. So the word for gifts that he uses here is the word charisma. We normally think of charisma like, well, somebody with a charismatic personality. But the word means a type of gift. That's where we get the word charismatic. So there are churches, some of you have heard of this, there are churches that we call charismatic churches. And we think you have different concepts about what that means. What is a charismatic church? Well, biblically, theologically, or doctrinally, a charismatic church is a church that believes in all the gifts for today, practices the gifts today. So like we said, there are some churches that believe, no, most of the gifts were for the apostles. And when the apostolic age passed, the gifts passed with them, except some gifts like teaching and serving and helping. There are others that say, no, the gifts are still available today. The Holy Spirit is still giving gifts to the church today. The Christian Mission Alliance, like we are, Syracuse Alliance Church, we believe, our theology, our doctrine says that we believe that the gifts are for everyone today, or for the believers today. So that would make us doctrinally, what? A charismatic church in our theology. Maybe not every Alliance church, maybe not in practice, but in our theology, in our beliefs, every Alliance church or pastor would affirm, yes, the gifts are for today. So there's a variety of gifts. Now, there are about 21 plus gifts mentioned in the New Testament. But let's not take the list as complete. What I mean by that is, in the list I gave you last week, I listed all the different gifts of the Spirit, and there were just about 20, 21 or so. But I say 21 plus because remember, the Holy Spirit is God. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's infinite. So just because Paul mentions or the New Testament mentions specifically about 21 gifts doesn't mean that's the exhaustive list. I mean, it's complete. There are no other gifts that the Holy Spirit can still give. He can still give more gifts than even what they experienced because there's no limit to what he can do and give us. So there's a variety, and a variety on the slide is singular, but you'll notice in the verse it says varieties, right? In itself, it's a plural. The other thing that it says is this variety of ministries. In the New Testament, in NIV, it says there are different types of service. So that word, I looked it up, and it is the word deacon, the same word for deacon, because deacon is one who serves. So he says there's different types of service or different types of ministries in the gifts. So what I take by that is that there are different types, there are a variety of ministries of serving, of leading, of teaching. So let's look at it this way. There are a variety of gifts, many different gifts. Some of them are teaching, helps, leadership is a gift, and guiding, wisdom, knowledge, all of these are gifts. And many of those gifts then lead to a particular ministry. Right? If you have so these are some of the ministries that are mentioned. So it's a different type of gift. It's not just a gift, but it's a gift with a purpose. Serving is leading, teaching. So if you're going to be a teacher, then it would make sense that you would have the gift of teaching. Right? The gift and the ministry that you have go together. If God's given you a gift of teaching, it's because he wants you to teach. If he's given you a gift of leading, it's because he wants you to lead. That's the particular ministry that he's given to you. And these are important because when we interview deacons, right, when we elect them, we nominate them in our annual meeting at the beginning of every year, and we interview them. We don't just pick names that we know. We meet with them, we interview them, and see, do they have the gifts that go along with this ministry? Right? Deacons are known more for serving and for taking care of the physical body and the physical building and physical and material needs of the congregation. So do they have that? Do they have what it takes? Do they have a heart for people and for serving people? Then when it comes to elders, we do the same thing. We meet with elders. We interview the candidates before we present their names to you to make sure that not only are they spiritual men, but do they have leadership? Because the elders are the leaders of the church. So there's a variety of gifts and ministries. So as we look at someone for a particular ministry, we look to see if they have the gifts that go along with those ministries. So there's a variety of gifts and variety of roles and ministries in the church. And then we all get that. Now the third one, it says there's a variety in effects. What does that mean? Why does that translation use the word effects when the New International Version says there's a variety of, or there are different kinds of works, different kind of gifts, different kinds of service, different kinds of works. But the new American Standard translates it effects. Well, because it's not just works or doing, but it's the effect or result of the gift at work, right? It's the result and the effect of that gift at work. So there are different gifts. And then that gift in that person, there's a different ministry in which that gift is needed. And the result of that work in action produces something different in the body. Teaching produces something different in the body than serving does. And prophecy produces something different. They produce different things, different results. That's what the idea of that word is talking about. There are different types of ministries that each produce different things. That's why they're so important in the body. So that all of the things are producing. Look at your body. Paul uses the body as an example. There are different systems in the body, right? The circulatory system, the respiratory system. They all do different things. They're all parts of the same body, and we need all of them. If you stopped breathing, if the respiratory system stopped or had problems, you would have problems breathing. If your heart has problems, that's going to cause issues, right? You need them all to be working together. They each produce something different, but together, it's harmony, it's a symphony. And the result varies in everyone too. The result varies. The amount of work or the amount of what they can produce. So what I mean by this is every teacher who has the gift of teaching doesn't have the same level of the gift. Just like every athlete, even athletes that make it professionally to play in the NBA, the NFL, or, you know, my mother's country, Costa Rica, just qualified for the World Cup, right? So even the players who qualify to play on the national team for the World Cup, they're all good players. But then there's the Messis and the Ronaldos, right? There's the LeBrons, and there are different levels of gifting even within the gift. So, for example, today in America alone, there are tens of thousands of preachers or teachers teaching the Word of God today. And some are teaching to 50 people, and some are teaching and preaching to 500, and some to 10,000. They're normally not just preachers, but they also must have the gift of leadership. And the greater their gift of leadership, the greater and the bigger the church they're able to lead. Someone with a gift that can lead a 50-member church will not be able to lead a 5,000-member church. It's beyond his gifting. So there's different levels. So look at it even in the Old Testament, because this is where we get hung up sometimes. And let me say one more thing about today's preachers, right? Not just the ability to speak or to lead, but even who they're speaking to. Some can speak to a audience that is urban and inner city, and they can speak. They're gifted at speaking to that community, but you put them in the middle of a rural community, and there's a disconnect. Because they both have a gift of teaching, but they're gifted to teach to different audiences, right? So there are varieties. You see what I'm saying? There's variety in the gifting and the amount of gifts, even the results of the gifts that they had. And let me apply it to the Old Testament, because this is where we get hung up sometimes, like with one of the gifts that we're going to look at later, where it talks about prophecy, because in chapter 14, it talks about prophecy and tongues a lot. So we're going to look at those two separately. But we get hung up because we think of Old Testament prophets, and we think, we don't see that today. Like, that kind of gift isn't for today. Well, let's look back at the Old Testament. There were some amazing men that were known as prophets and women that were known as prophets. Moses was one who was a leader and a prophet, and Samuel, Elisha, Elijah, Isaiah, Daniel, incredible anointed men that did miraculous, powerful things, right? But if you notice that for the most part, they're kind of one at a time. It doesn't seem like there's more than one or two of those high-level prophets in Israel at a time. We kind of think all prophets are like that. During the time of Samuel and Elijah and Elisha, there were schools of prophets. There were many prophets, but they weren't all Elishas or Elijahs. So if we look at it that way, if we say, well, maybe in the world today, there might be one or two Elijahs or Elishas or Isaiahs out there somewhere, but they're not running around. Every church isn't filled with that kind. Like if you have if God moves in you, in a sense, what we would call prophetically or just revealing things to you, it's probably not like it is with Isaiah or those main prophets, right? So when we understand that, it takes away some of the fear of it. To say, yeah, even in the Old Testament, everybody wasn't a major prophet. Everybody wasn't a Daniel. So there are, and let me mention that first point was you've got gifts. So obviously, if you remember the first AOL, first internet email that was really popular was AOL, and every time you got mail, what would it say? You've got mail, right? So I want you to just think that in your head today. You've got gifts, right? God's giving you gifts. Now, let's look at why we have these gifts. Oh, no, one more point. Almost forgot. See, I'm getting ahead. I tried to go too fast. There's one more point that I just thought was really cool and interesting. It says there's a variety of gifts, ministries, and effects. But let's read it again very, very quick, very carefully. After each verse, it says, variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God. Who works all things in all persons. You guys catch what the Lord showed me this week? You see the Trinity right there. There's one Spirit who's doing the giving. There is one Lord, it's referring to Jesus, who is doing the ministering or the serving. And there's one God that is doing the working. Right? So even in this, I mean, I just thought that was cool. I don't know how much it tells us about the gifts, but whenever I can point out where the Bible points to the Trinity, I'd like to do that. And the cool thing also is that normally it's always referring to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In this one, it turns it around. The Spirit, the Son, or Jesus, the Lord, and God, because it's talking about the Spirit who's doing the giving. All right, now let's talk about why you have gifts. So last week we saw the motive, right? 1 Corinthians 13 says we do it with love. If we don't have the fruit of the Spirit and we operate in the gifts, then we can hurt people. But if we do it with love, then we have the right motive. Paul goes further in the very next verse as he says, and it's in your notes, 1 Corinthians 12:7, but to each one is given the manifestation or the expression of the Spirit for the common good. So the expression, the manifestation of the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit shows up, when he gives you gifts, he gives them to you for the common good, not for yourself. Right? That's the problem that the Corinthian church was getting into. Remember, Paul was writing to correct misuse of the gifts. They were getting it wrong. So what he does is he's telling them that, no, it's for the common good. It's not for yourself. God doesn't give you the gift of teaching so you can teach yourself, or wisdom so you can just kind of, you know, have people praise you. It's so that you can help other people with your wisdom, help others with your knowledge, help others. In chapter 14, verse 3, he says this, but to one, the one who prophesies speaks to people for edification, exhortation, right? So edification is building up. Exhortation is encouraging, and consolation, which is comforting. Now for me, the word building up, NASB uses edification to edify a lot. We don't use that word that much. A lot of times you'll see in the Bible the word, you know, to build each other up. It's the word edify. But for me, it makes perfect sense because in Spanish, there's not two words for building and building up. There's just one word. So like you look at this building and you say, oh, that's a building. You look at a building like the Empire State Building or a building downtown. You say that's a big or a tall building. In Spanish, the word for building is edificio, to edify. The word to build is edificar. So when we see the word edify, we immediately, automatically know it's talking about building each other up. So that's what he's saying here. This is why, and in your notes, I have Ephesians 4, because Ephesians 4 explains it to me better than most other passages about building each other up. So in your notes, it says, Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some as apostles. See, these are the gifts that God has given ministries. He's given some to serve the church as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for equipping, right? For equipping, for training of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, right? Someone who's mature is someone who's all grown up. To a mature man, to the measure of the full stature, which belongs to the fullness of Christ. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all, there it goes again, grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, for, let's look at 16 very carefully, for whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. We are the joints. Held together by what each of us is supplying according to the proper working, right? The proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of this, of itself in love. Each joint supplies the proper work of each individual part so that it grows and is built up. We looked at last week how in 1 Corinthians 12, the second half of the chapter, Paul starts talking about the body. And he says, this is why you can't say, I don't want to be a part of the body. The eye can't say to the hand, well, because I'm not the hand, I don't want to be a part of the body. Paul is saying, you cannot say that. I've had people tell me, and you've probably heard this, well, I don't need to go to church to believe in God. I mean, the devil doesn't go to church. He believes in God, so I guess no, you don't have to. But how are you going to fulfill the Great Commission by yourself? And honestly, if they're not going to church, they're really probably not making an attempt to do that. And I think about what Jesus put it this way when he says, you know, if you're not for me, you're against me. If you're not gathering with me, then you're scattering. He was using a farming metaphor. But what if he used a building metaphor like this one? If you're not building with me, you're tearing down. You know that in our church, we have a lot of people that work and serve, and you see that. I don't know if you know that just in the last few months, there are times where some of our volunteers in the nursery or kids zone have had to be there about 3 times out of the month. And I know sometimes you think, oh, but I don't want to serve in those areas because then I'll miss the service. That means I kind of miss the service. But if we all did it, then we wouldn't have people having to miss the service 3 times, sometimes 4 times a week. Or they're not missing it. It's still played in there, and they can watch it online, but they're not here. That's happening. We have people who pick up, who drive our kids, volunteer to drive our youth home after Wednesday night, because some of our teens live too far away, and their parents don't come. And we, in order for them to be here, we drive them home. The same people have been doing it for the last 6 months, every Wednesday, faithfully. Last fall, I spoke with someone because I was talking with Amanda, and Amanda was saying, well, you know, she needed some help with the kids on and some other stuff and check in. And so I talked with Shayna. I didn't get permission to share this. So I hope it's okay. But I talked with Shayna. Shayna's the person that checks your kids in for Kids Zone every Sunday, along with Barb. And so I said, Shayna, if you have a second, can you come by my office? So she comes by my office and we're talking, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, like where do you see, you know, like what's the gifting, or where would you like to? I'm beating all around the bush, and I love what she said. She said, Pastor, and I think she even put her hand out to, like, stop me, like, Pastor. Because she just noticed I was like, Pastor, what do you need me to do? That was it. She knew, she cut to the chase. Pastor, what do you need me to do? And she's been out there at that table ever since. We need more. At this moment, I just want you to think, if you're a part of this body, if this is a part of, this is your spiritual community, to say, okay, where do you need me? Ask the Father, but also you can ask me. You can drop, you know, I know the offering has already gone by, but there's baskets out there at the Welcome Center, and you can fill out a yellow card, blue card, and just say, where do you need me? Make sure you put your name on it, so I know who you are. But just say, Pastor, where do you need me? And if something is on your heart where you know you can serve, then say, here's where I can serve. But would you consider that and pray about it and step up and help your spiritual church and community? So now we get to the unwrapping of the gifts, and hopefully we'll get through the first three. And the first is the word of wisdom, which is having good and sound judgment. The word of wisdom. So he says, to some is given the word of wisdom. What does that mean, the word of wisdom? Well, wisdom in itself, generally speaking, is having good and sound judgment. Having good and sound judgment. And to me, wisdom and counseling or counsel go together very well. Right? Because when we think about wisdom, it's not just knowledge, it's not just knowing stuff, but it's the ability to guide others, to take everything into account and give good advice, good direction. If you've ever gone to someone who has given you bad advice, most likely you haven't gone back to them. Right? But people who give good advice, you're like, man, that was so wise. That was such good advice. That's good counsel. So to me, they go together. Now, the interesting thing is, and that, you know, the Bible tells us that we can seek wisdom. Proverbs says the things that are written in Proverbs are written so that you can gain wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. James tells us, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God for wisdom. So I made that one of my daily prayers. I started praying every day, Father, I pray for wisdom, knowledge, insight, understanding, and discernment. I didn't just pray for wisdom. I prayed for all of it. And there's a result to that, right? There's a result to how God answers that prayer. Because this is a funny thing, but like you wonder, how do you know if you have wisdom? Like, how do you know if that's your spiritual gift or any of these gifts? Well, one way is as you get older, right, if you're young, maybe you haven't had much of this yet, but the older you get, the more people will describe you according to the gift that you have. And wisdom is one that people over the years have made different comics who described me that way. One of the cutest ways was when I was at Life in 2004, the youth conference. I was there with a prayer team. So for 4 days, we were praying for the students that were in conference. So me and this team of pastors and college students were praying for 4 days straight. At the end of the 4 days, we were all saying goodbye to each other and going our separate ways. And one of the college students, when she said goodbye to me, she says, "You're like Yoda." Like, you guys know Yoda? "Wise you are." Well, what was she trying to say in her own way? Over the 4 days that she was around me and listened to me, her impression of me was that I spoke with wisdom. Well, when you get that over the course of your life, then you start to realize, you know what? Maybe this is a spiritual gift that God has given me. But the other thing that it mentions specifically, it says word of wisdom. He's given a, not just wisdom, because in general, wisdom is good and sound judgment and counsel. But here it mentions specifically the word of wisdom or a message of wisdom. It's the same in John chapter 1 where it says in the beginning was the word, the logos. Paul is saying to some is given the logos of wisdom. So some believe that it's not just wisdom in general, but there are moments when there's a word of wisdom, which to me, again, goes along with the counsel. In that moment, to be able to give good counsel. So what is the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Well, let's go into that then. Let's jump up into knowledge, and I'll give you a great example from the Bible. The word of knowledge is related to facts, information, through study and experience. Knowledge, information through facts and experience, and we're able to retain knowledge. I was watching recently an interview on the news, and they were interviewing Larry Gatlin from the Gatlin brothers, and they were talking about the Second Amendment and things like that, and he says, you know, and he starts, as he's being interviewed, just naturally, he starts quoting Socrates and these philosophers, and I realized this guy was educated, he was well-versed, not just with wisdom, but he had knowledge. He's able to retain information. Most of the time, knowledge has to do with facts and studying and learning things. But when knowledge doesn't automatically have to do with, or wisdom doesn't automatically have to do with education, you don't have to have a PhD, but you can have great wisdom. And to me, knowledge, here's the perfect example of the two. It's Joseph in the Bible. Joseph was a young guy in Egypt who was imprisoned. While he was in prison, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, Pharaoh had two dreams, very similar to each other. The dreams were like this. He saw, coming out of the Nile, seven scrawny, pathetic, bony, skin and bone cows that came out of the Nile and swallowed up these seven plump, nice, healthy cows. But then the scrawny cow stayed scrawny and bony, and skin and bones. And then he saw another dream very similar, and it haunted him. He knew that there was something to these dreams. And he asked all of his wise men, and nobody could interpret the dreams. Nobody knew the dreams. Nobody had the knowledge of what the dream meant. And somebody told Pharaoh, hey, there's this guy in the dungeon who can interpret dreams. So they bring Joseph to Pharaoh. Joseph stands before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, I hear and understand you can interpret dreams. You have the knowledge of interpreting the meaning behind the dreams. Joseph says, I cannot. But you tell me the dream, and my God, the God of heaven, God of the universe, he will give me the interpretation. He will give me the knowledge of what the dream means. So Pharaoh tells him the dream. And then Joseph says, Pharaoh, here's what the dream means. God gave him what in this moment might be like a word of knowledge, the understanding of what this dream meant. And he says, the seven big cows, the plump, juicy cows, those are 7 years of plenty. The next 7 years, there is going to be so much wealth and just prosperity in Egypt. It's going to be more than it's ever seen in a seven-year period of time before. But after that, there's going to come 7 years of famine, of drought, of scarcity. The 7 years are going to be so, so bad, you're not even going to remember how good the other 7 years were. That's how bad it's going to be. And then Pharaoh's like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And then Joseph steps up with wisdom and says, here's the counsel. Here's the plan. Here's what you do. You build storehouses. You take a percentage of everything over the next 7 years, and at the 7 years, you'll be fine. You'll be better than fine. You're going to be end up being the most powerful nation on the earth. God, he had a word of knowledge, knowledge of what the dream meant, but then he had the wisdom to know this is how you deal with a famine. So we see it perfectly, the gift of knowledge and wisdom in Joseph. Jesus had wisdom, and at the same time, and they would try to trap him, and he would answer with such wisdom. They would ask questions, and right in the middle, they would ask him things, and he'd stop, and he'd say, well, let me tell you a parable, right? The kingdom of heaven is like this. Or there was a man, like, who was my neighbor? Well, you know, let me tell you a story. Just that wisdom to be able to answer and to, in the moment, know what to say. And to me, knowledge goes very well with teaching. Wisdom goes very well with the gift or the ministry of counseling. And when I say counseling, it's not just being a counselor, but someone who can lead others and give advice to others and direct others. But knowledge has a lot to do with teaching, having that information and knowing how to communicate it to others. And then when we get into words of knowledge, this is really interesting, and sometimes it overlaps with what we would call the gift of prophecy, but I might have to wait a little bit for this one. But let me just give you, you know, one example of how this works. And I think sometimes even as God even gives us glimpses as children. Sometimes there are things that happen to us when we're kids, and we brush it off. But then we become Christians, or we grow up in our faith, and we start to realize it. Let me give you a story. True story. I was 8 years old. I was walking home from school. As I'm walking home from school, two of my sisters come running out to meet me. They're like, Antonio, you're not going to guess. You're not going to believe what happened. You're not going to guess. And out of nowhere, 8 years old, out of nowhere, I said, Mom is pregnant. And I've got this big, how did you know? And I'm like, I have no idea. I don't even know if I knew where babies came from yet. I had no clue that my mom was pregnant at all. But they said, guess what? And without them even being able to tell me, the first words out of my mouth was, Mom, how would I know that? Right? That's some of us experience those kind of moments. And we brush it off. We don't realize what it is. In that moment, that's as Christians, we believe that's when the Holy Spirit is giving us a word of knowledge, a word of something that we didn't know otherwise. We didn't put two and two together. That's wisdom is putting two and two together. A word of knowledge is where God just divinely reveals to us. And that kind of overlaps with discernment and prophecy, which we'll get into later. I just want to end with at least introducing this point on faith. And the reason is that this is a different kind of gift. This is a different kind. And that's why it's so important to get into, to study the original text, because you know the verse where it says, to one he gave wisdom, to another he gave... Well, there's two different words there. Here's the verse. And it says, to one he gave wisdom, to one he gave knowledge, or to another, and then to another he gave faith. And this is what he's saying. To one, so this is going to illustrate wisdom. To one he gave wisdom, and to another he gave knowledge. Now the word another there, you see it in yellow, aios or alos, which means another of the same kind. It's numerical. He gave one gift of wisdom, and he gave another one just like this one, which is knowledge. And then he says, and to another, but he uses a different word. In English, we just say another, but in the Greek, it's heteros, which means it's another of a different kind. See, they're all cups. And these two are similar. These two are of the same kind. But this one is a gift of a different kind. So then you start to look into it. Well, how is faith different than the others? And that's where I start to realize, well, look at the gifts that come next. There's the gift of healing and the gift of miracles. And it just makes me think that what he's saying is, you know, to one he gave the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom, but then there's another gift, which is the gift of faith. And that gift is necessary for the other gifts that come, which is the gifts of healing and the gift of the miraculous. When Jesus goes into Nazareth and he says he wasn't able to perform many miracles there. Why? Because of their lack of faith. And as I think about all of these gifts, Paul says, seek the greater gifts. To me, one of them is the gift of faith, because it's we need it so that we can believe. Where is it? Right here. The last point. So that we ask for faith to believe that God can speak and work in and through us. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. So when we think about the Holy Spirit moving, and it's just faith is so important in that. And God has given to some. Again, do we all have faith at the same level and same measure? No. But we need the gift of faith, and we can all ask for it. I mentioned that it has to do with healing, and there's a verse that says, right, and the prayer of offered in faith will make the sick person well. So let's respond in prayer and just say, let's just ask and seek and continue to ask for the Holy Spirit to move in us. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And you are our Father, and you are a good, good Father. You know how to give good gifts to your children. And those who seek you for you, your presence, your spirit. Father, would you release through the Holy Spirit a variety of gifts in us? Would you increase our faith in all of us to the measure that we need to know you, to hear you, to serve you with a greater measure? Would you give us wisdom so that we know the way we should go and we can help others get there? And would you give us knowledge and words of knowledge in the moment that we need them? Would you move in our hearts and our minds so that your name would be great, so that we would see the lost saved, families healed and made whole. I pray, Father, that as we go, as we are asking and receiving, that you would answer today, here and now, that you would answer in your own timing outside of today, in different moments, nudging us to take steps of faith. I pray this Wednesday and Tuesday with all the programs, all the ministries we have on Tuesday for the community, the pop-up pregnancy, the pantry, and Wednesday with the cookouts, there would be moments, Father, where your spirit would break through us, break out, and we would have divine moments where the Spirit of God is breaking out through us. Where those of us that have known, Father, any of us that have known, yeah, this is my gift, and I've kind of let it gather dust. I've kind of let it just cool off. But they would fan that into flame. For some to experience and discover new gifts, and for others to come to you for the first time and say, Jesus, I believe in you. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the word. Thank you for knowledge, for learning and encouragement. Thank you for this message today, for what I've gotten from it. And I hope, Father, that again, it was that I honored you in communicating what I believe you've put on my heart this week. Now fill us, Father, in Jesus' name.